Well, good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Welcome to worship. Would you believe today's the first day of October? First day of October. That means it's less than 3 months to Christmas. I have a Facebook friend that I've known for years. I knew him long before there was a thing called Facebook. And the 25th of every month, he counts down how many months till. How many months till? How many months till? Last week it was 3 more months till you know when. Yes, Christmas. Yes, just thought I'd make that clear. All right, by way of announcements this morning. Wednesday at 10:30, Bible study here at the church. Karen has very kindly reproduced for us this information about this video. It talks about the characters who were seen in it, has some Bible verses, and it has some questions that we'll hopefully get to. So that's this Wednesday at 10:30 right here. Sign up sheet. How is this the last day for the calendars? Now that was a definitive maybe if ever I've heard one.
Well, because I never know if there'd be someone come in that hadn't been in a while, but yeah, I'll probably pin you down today.
Okay. The sign-up sheet for the church choir is in the back as well. Nancy says, thank you to all who donated and participated in the painting project. You want to say anything more?
No, I really appreciate them helping with the snacks and the cleanup.
Okay, do we have to paint to give our donation?
No. I'll take your money anytime at all.
Okay, Mom, what you got in your hand?
Okay, Heaven Project. It's in the newsletter. The whole month of October, I will be collecting money, change, green stuff, checks, whatever. If you make out a check to the Heaven Project, make it out to the Heaven Project. Don't make it out to
where is that going to be?
Right
in the back.
Here on the back where the collect all stuff goes.
Okay.
And you'll find in the newsletter, Kelly put in there about the Operation Christmas Child. Weller's Church is going to fill boxes again for anybody that wants to go through them to do it. Sandy and her group do a fine job. And she's even saying that if anybody wants to come help, you have extra time, feel free to do so. Like when we turn in, whoever purchases from the church, when we turn it in, I'm going to go a specific day and help fill church boxes. So if you want to come with me, many hands make light work, as Brother Don used to say. They are having a yard sale, and Kelly's got that in the newsletter as well. But what you don't realize is the past couple of years we've been doing this, Sandy has never raised price of the boxes. And because of things, their fundraisers, like this yard sale at the ColorFest time is one of their big fundraisers, and that helps offset the cost for filling the shoe boxes. So if you get out and about on Thursday of ColorFest, they're having a big yard sale, and it's going to be mostly inside, I think, across from the churches. There used to be their parsonage. Now they call it
Weller House.
So they're going to have things in the basement and the garage of that house. So if you're in the neighborhood, out and about, yard sale, stop in and see if you see anything you like.
Well, since everybody knows where this is but me, which church is this and where?
It's as you come out 77.
Yes.
Okay. Go through the light at Thurmont.
I should stop if it's red, right?
Right.
Okay.
Right. It's always a wise guy in every room. So anyway, go through the light, and it's the first right. First right is called Altamont Avenue. Go to the top of the hill, and you see the stone church on the left.
You'll pass Thurmont Church of the Brethren first.
Yeah, you'll pass Thurmont Church of the Brethren on your right, and then at the top, very top of the hill is...
Is that all?
I don't know now. I probably got another announcement, but because you're picking on me, I forgot.
Behind you.
Come on. I think I'm done.
Well, I'm not. So you have a moment to think. It's the 1st of October. And what do we always do on the first Sunday of the month? Okay, I was told that I am to inform you that there are cookies in the back where all the other stuff gathers, as per Mrs. Eiler here.
Mom.
Well, I said mom once, you know, I didn't want to push my luck this morning. But anyway, cookies are there after church. Do not go back now and leave crumbs all over the pews. No matter how badly you want to, don't do that. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, God bless you. Happy birthday to you. And many more. By the way, who has an October birthday? Aha! Oh, and raise that hand a little higher there, Karen. Just a little.
I'm too old.
I'm too old, huh? It's like the guy with arthritis. He said, you know, before I went to the doctor, it used to be I could only raise up my arm like this, but now that I went to the doctor, I can raise up like this. I just blew that line. But anyway, it doesn't matter. No other announcements? All right, then. Our call to worship is from Psalm 78. Give ear, O my people, to my law. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old, which we have heard and known, and our fathers have told us. We will not hide them from their children, telling the generation to come the praises of the Lord, about his strength and his wonderful works that he has done. Marvelous things he did in the sight of their fathers, in the land of Egypt, in the field of Zoan. He divided the sea and caused them to pass through, and he made the waters to stand up like a heap. In the daytime also he led them with a cloud, and all the night with a light of fire. He split the rocks in the wilderness and gave them drink in abundance like the depths. He also brought streams out of the rock and caused waters to run down like rivers. Lord, this morning we have come to worship you. We have gathered in your name. And we, Lord, come expecting that blessing and life will flow like rivers through your Spirit into our hearts and our minds this morning. We are yielding ourselves to you to speak to us, to call upon us. And Lord, our hearts and minds are ready to listen and obey. So be pleased to meet us here as we offer you our worship in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's sing number 215 and stand if you're able.
Jesus and his glory.
want to move in the time of sharing our joys and concerns. What is it that you'd like us to pray for or to praise the Lord for about today? Nancy.
I'd like to have prayers for my foot. I had to have it x-rayed, and there's two problems with it, and I don't want foot surgery.
Well, you do know that sometimes we have to do things we don't like to do. But we will pray that it does, that it resolves without.
Thank you so much.
But remember that the Lord reserves the right to choose how he heals you. But we'll pray that it goes away without. Yes, ma'am.
I just want to keep Toby on the prayer list and thank all who have prayed. His surgery Friday went well. He has a plate and eight screws in his ankle. And he's in a good bit of pain.
I think so.
But just please keep him in your prayers for healing and for a mood level of pain.
Did they send him home or is he still in the hospital?
No, they sent him same day.
Okay, very good. Well, now he's going to do like me and carry a card so that if you go on the airplane somewhere, it says, oh yeah, he's allowed to have all this metal in him.
Well, the doctor said that in 6 months, if everything's healed, he could possibly go back in and take that out depending on how, if it worries him or bothers him.
Well, so far we're glad that the surgery went well and we'll pray for healing.
Yeah.
Yes.
I'm going to keep the Noggle family in prayer and Catherine and Ronnie Noggle.
All righty.
I'm going to continue with the Baker family and Travis. Needs our prayers.
I'm going to continue to keep all those in our prayers that we've been having on the prayer list for quite some time. The Lord knows who they are, and we just need to pray for them. And also, my wife Pat, who is scheduled for surgery on the 8th of November, but in the meantime, she's been suffering quite a bit.
Yes.
I'd like to thank God for our joy. We had a family day out in Lancaster on Friday, and I'm glad that we had safe travels and decent weather and being able to spend time with the family. And I'm just going to put my list of unspoken requests.
Okay. Well, you need to pray for your pastor and his wife because they did something on Thursday that shows that senility is not far off. We went and got a puppy. And we have never had a puppy before. Every time we've had a dog, we got a dog that was at least a year old. And pretty much, you know. And this one is fine until it's time for bed. There's nothing like lying in your bed at 3 o'clock in the morning and hear from the sound of the crate, you know, from downstairs. It's like, okay. One of us will get, what was that?
Put him into bed with you. No problem.
No. No. No, 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 no.
I'm just saying.
Only one other animal sleeps with my wife. And that's me.
Reminiscent of her mother's heartbeat.
Well, he's 5 months old. He's supposed to have already been crate trained. But apparently he doesn't like this one. So he's getting a new one, and hopefully that will help. But I realized when I was driving here this morning, there were a couple of things I didn't do to get him used to something new. And you know how it is when we have some... How is it for you when you have to do something new, friends? Yeah. The older we get, the less we like it, right? Well, you can imagine this little teenager doesn't like being in a new house and no other dogs around. And it's awfully quiet. It's just these people.
Get another dog.
You're just... You're just a fountain of helpful information, aren't you?
I was wondering what you were going to say I was.
And Karen can come up and help take care of him.
I will.
Okay, we'll take him down and he can sleep with you tonight. It's, you know, we talk about getting older. It's a big, you know, it's a bigger change than you think when you've never had a puppy around your house, even at 5 months old. It's like, my wife and I were looking at each other last night before I took him outside the last time. And it was one of those looks that husbands and wives give each other where you have that nonverbal communication that says, what have we done? So... All right, that's all our serious prayer requests and important ones. We'll spend some time with the Lord. Heavenly Father, we come to you in Jesus' name this morning. In a part of the day of worship that we look forward to coming to you in a focused way, to come to you with our burdens and our cares and our joys, and knowing that you're hearing them and you're responding to them. You've already begun responding to them before we ever even asked. But because you've told us to come and ask, we do. And so, Lord, we ask first of all that you would bless the offering that's been received. May it go to your honor and glory and the strengthening of your kingdom and the strengthening of your church here. We also pray, Lord, for physical needs. Nancy's right foot. Lord, do you know how to bring healing and health to that foot? Lord, do you know that she doesn't want to have surgery? She accepts your will, whatever it is, but we pray first of all, Lord, that that healing could happen without surgery. We pray for Toby. We're grateful, Lord, that he has come through his surgery successfully so far. We pray that he will have less pain as he heals. We pray for the Noggle family in their moments of grief. We pray for the Bakers and for Travis. We pray for Sister Patsy as she waits for her surgery to happen next month. Lord, we thank you for the good things that you're doing in our community through your church. Thank you for the funds for the Ladies' Aid that were raised through painting and through other gifts. Lord, we look around and we see what you're doing among us and we feel stronger, better, more hopeful because our trust is in you. We know, Lord, that each one of us is in your loving hands and in your care and that you're guiding your church everywhere it goes and everywhere its members go. We pray for the collection of the Christmas shoeboxes, and Lord, other things that we can give to our community of our time, our talents, and our efforts. We offer ourselves to you to place us just where you want us to be for the maximum benefit of your kingdom. Lord, we love you, we praise you, and now we offer you to you the prayer that Jesus taught us. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. We're going to sing number two. Please stand if you're able.
Lord of my
This morning I didn't have a scripture passage listed. I'm going to be reading portions of the scripture that we're going to be talking about this morning. How do you say this guy's name?
Habakkuk.
Say it out loud.
Habakkuk.
Habakkuk? Any others? You're close. If you were Hebrew, you'd say Habakkuk. You say, why? I don't know. I'm not a Hebrew. That's just the way they said it. That's the way the Hebrew language works. Where do you find the book of Habakkuk?
The Old Testament.
That's, yes, you're right. It's in the Old Testament. But where in the Old Testament?
Coming to the end.
Coming to the end. Does anybody have a thumb index Bible?
Yes.
Right after Nahum.
Right after Nahum and before?
Haggai.
Nope. One of the Z boys. Zephaniah. It goes Zephaniah, Zechariah. So. Now that you've had your Bible test for the morning. As I said last week, we're going to take a little journey through the Bible in the month of October. And I'd like you to think of your Bible as kind of like the highway that takes you on a journey from earth to heaven. And each of the various books we might think of as like an intersection or an exit on this highway. We all know what intersections and exits are, right? If you go on I-70, let's say you're going from Frederick to St. Louis. How many stops are there along the way? If you need gas, where do you pull off? If you need something to eat, where do you pull off? You pull off at an exit, right? So you think of the Bible books as exits along this highway of faith where we can get something that we need for our journey as we stop at each one of these exits. And like the exits along the Pennsylvania Turnpike or along I-70 or any other interstate, there are services and connections and communities and points of interest that you find in the various books of the Bible. And then sometimes, when you're on the interstate, they have these exits where there's no services, says the sign. And sometimes you don't even have a sign that says no services. Last summer, my wife and I drove across the country for 5 weeks, and when we got out to far western Nebraska, and when we came back in far western Kansas, there's these intersections, these exits. And the sign says nothing, just exit number so and so. And if you were there to pull off of there, you would get off on this exit, and there's no community this way. And there's no community that way, not even a grain elevator, just flat country. And because it was the summertime, it was flat, hot country. And so it's like, what does anybody do here? We don't know. But somebody built the intersection there. But so it is with the Bible. There are certain intersections or certain segments of the Bible that we don't often use or read, right? For whatever reason. I mean, who here within the last year has read the Song of Solomon? One, two, three. Probably all in your Bible reading plan, right?
Yep.
Okay. But would you normally have gone to the Song of Solomon in everyday reading? Not that there's anything wrong with the Song of Solomon. But there are portions of the Bible which sometimes remain obscure to us because they don't necessarily apply to us. And it's only when the need arises that the Holy Spirit says to our hearts and minds, go over here where I have addressed this problem. And then that comes into there. So So we're going to experience some of these lesser-known books in the month of October. We're going to begin with Habakkuk. And I'm going to begin by reading the first four verses. The burden which the prophet Habakkuk saw. O Lord, how long shall I cry, and you will not hear? Even cry out to you, violence, and you will not save? Why do you show me iniquity and cause me to see trouble? For plundering and violence is before me. Their strife and contention arises. Therefore the law is powerless and justice never goes forth. For the wicked surround the righteous, and therefore perverse judgment proceeds. That's the first section, verses 1 through 4. Habakkuk is one of the most mysterious persons in the entirety of the whole 66 books of the Scripture. He only appears here. He is never spoken of. His name is never mentioned by any of the other prophets or in any other biblical books. There are no biblical records that speak of him. It's almost as if the Holy Spirit said to him, come here, son. And he came over here. The Spirit said to him, write this down. And he wrote it down. And then he passed it on and disappeared. We don't know anything about Habakkuk. And what he does is kind of unusual. Because what he does, instead of like the usual prophecy, what do Isaiah and Jeremiah and the other prophets, how do they normally start their pronouncements from God? There's a phrase that they use. Thus says the Lord. In some version or another of those words, that's how a prophet almost always begins. Thus says the Lord. Habakkuk records a dialogue between himself and God. And the dialogue contains the prophetic information for the people. So in a sense, this is kind of you and I, when we read Habakkuk, we're kind of looking at somebody's journal or diary. It's his conversation with God. Who is Habakkuk, you say? He's the eighth of the minor prophets. But they're not even sure that Habakkuk was really his name. Now, I'm going to use a little Hebrew here, but you don't have to worry about that. His name is based on the Hebrew word kamach, which means to embrace. But in most of the occasions in the Old Testament where that word is used, it's more like a meaning of to carry something. You know, to pick something up in your arms, pick up a load of something and carry it to somewhere else. The emphasis is on that the burden, the load might be a little bit heavy. How many of you ever tried to carry a 50-pound sack of grain? Can you do that all day long? No. After a while, it gets a little heavy, right? Or if you're hauling bricks to the masons as they're putting up the wall. After a while, I imagine hauling bricks gets a little old. Or carrying concrete blocks. It's that kind of burden, that kind of... The picture is of a man who puts his arms around a big, heavy load. And this idea of carrying a heavy load ties in with the title. Because it says here, the burden which the prophet Habakkuk saw. That word in Hebrew is mashah, a burden that God gives his prophets to share. In the Hebrew, every prophet in the Old Testament has a burden that is placed upon them by the Lord God. That's why in Jeremiah 29, Jeremiah says, I had determined that I was never going to speak again. I'd had enough. I wasn't going to give God's words anymore, but his message burned like fire within my bones until I spoke. once the burden had been laid upon the prophet by the Lord, he had to speak it. He had to deliver it in one form or another. So you see, being a prophet is not all that. It's an awesome responsibility. And failure to carry out the responsibility brings consequences, as Jeremiah found out. Habakkuk seems to have written this book around 600 to 610 BC, just before the end of the reign of good King Josiah, and just before the Babylonians had emerged as a power. The city of Jerusalem and the country that he lived in was filthy rich. It was the most prosperous time in that entire period of the kingdom of Judah. Sound familiar? And yet, because there was great economic wealth, there was also, unfortunately, great spiritual poverty. There were all kinds of other cults, other false worships. There were people who were ignoring the law. Does this sound familiar? So here, God is speaking to Habakkuk. And Habakkuk starts with a complaint. Now, I'm not going to ask you to raise your hands in answer to this question, but just think to yourself, how many of us have ever complained to God? I certainly hope you have, because there isn't anything new and original that you can say to God that somebody else hasn't already said, and you're never going to hurt God's feelings, because he made you. He knows you inside and out. And he knows that sometimes you need to complain to him. Sometimes, you know, you might get up in the morning and things are not just so great, and we're moving kind of slow. And we say, Lord, why did you create those Idas boys? You know, Arthur Idas and his brothers, you know. Some of those other guys. Why did you allow these things? Or sometimes you go camping. Lord, in all your wisdom, why did you create mosquitoes? Or grizzly bears. Or whatever. Habakkuk decides in his conversation with God, he's going to start with a complaint. And then that, he's a lot like another Old Testament character. Anybody know who I'm thinking of? Three letters in his name.
Job.
Job was a great complainer. Did Job have a reason? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. God never blames Job for complaining. Remember that. God never says to Job, shut up, you little whiner, and take it. He takes Job's suffering seriously. And, like Job, Habakkuk speaks openly to God, and he receives an answer to his deepest question. But Job spoke from the perspective of, God, why are you allowing me to suffer when I've been a good guy? I've been righteous. Habakkuk asked God another question, one that you and I might have asked. God, why aren't you punishing the wicked? Why are wicked people getting away with all this? As we said, this was a time of great prosperity. Things were good in Judah, and they only looked to get better. But injustice was running rampant. And it looked like being a faithful follower of the Lord God Jehovah was a losing game, because everybody else was out getting everything they could with both hands. So he comes to the Lord with six questions. O Lord, how long shall I cry for help and you do nothing? Now that's pretty blunt. How long am I going to have to cry out to you, God, and you just stand there on the sidelines and don't do a thing? The second question is, how long must I learn of violence among your people, and yet you don't respond? I don't see you doing anything, God, and there's all this violence. Where are you? And then he asks four questions that start with the same word. What's the most important three-letter word a 2- and 3-year-old knows? That's it. Why? And Habakkuk says, why am I forced to look at injustice? I look around, I should be seeing God's people serving him, blessing him, blessing the world, and all I see is this injustice. God, what are you doing? Why am I forced to look at injustice? Why do you tolerate such sin among your people? Ooh, there's a question for the church in America. Why does God tolerate such sin among his people? Why do you tolerate the treacherous and their deeds? People who say one thing and then turn around and stab in the back. And then finally he says, God, why don't the wicked get what's coming to them? Did you ever want to see somebody get what's coming to them? You can't wait to see till they get their due. You just want to see that. Maybe you see it in a movie. Boy, I can't wait till the bad guy gets his in the end. Or I can't wait till my neighbor gets his or hers in the end. But you know, we never say, boy, Lord, I can't wait till I get mine in the end. And Habakkuk says, why don't the wicked get what's coming to them? And Habakkuk is not afraid to speak very plainly to God, the creator of the universe. His questions are the universal questions that other people asked before him, asked in his time, and asked in the future, and will ask beyond this. They're the kinds of things we might have asked God ourselves. And the Lord does not leave Habakkuk's questions unanswered. But Habakkuk leaves his questions with a statement of trust in verse 1 of chapter 2. I will stand my watch and set myself on the rampart and watch to see what he will say to me and what I will answer when I am corrected. Now, isn't that interesting? I'll watch to see what God's going to do, but then I'll also be ready to see what happens when I'm corrected. That's a good spirit, by the way. He's willing to learn. But I will stand on the rampart. Remember, of course, since we don't have this seat, as I remember it this week when I was in there, the town of Thurmont does not have a wall around it, right? No. And Rocky Ridge doesn't have a wall around it. And Frederick doesn't have a wall around it that you have to pass through the gates or anything else, right? So, of course, in Habakkuk's day, all the cities had walls to keep out enemies. And they had watchmen who stood on the wall 24/7 to see the approach of an enemy. And or to see what might be coming down the road. It isn't always an enemy. It might be somebody else. And Habakkuk says, all right, Lord, I've asked you all these questions. Now I'm going to stand here and I'm going to wait for you to answer me, and I'll be ready to be corrected if necessary. I admire Habakkuk. He said, I'm willing to stand here and wait until you decide it's time to answer me. Do we ever get impatient when we ask God for something? Do we ever say, Lord, why aren't you moving faster? Lord, didn't you hear me? I said I wanted this with chocolate on it. Sometimes the answer is long in coming. Habakkuk says, that's all right. I'm going to keep watch. So the other side of the conversation, and remember, this is a dialogue. And in a dialogue, how many people speak?
Two,
at least. In a dialogue, yes. If it was a monologue, it would just be Habakkuk talking. But Habakkuk asks questions, and the Lord says, okay, you got questions? I've got answers. And here they are. And you find them in verses 5 through 11 of chapter 1 and in verses 2 and 3 of chapter 2. And the thing is, the Lord's responses are not necessarily what Habakkuk expects to hear. How many times has God said something to you in answer to your prayers that you didn't, that you got an answer that you weren't looking for? Sometimes that happens. Sometimes that happens. The Lord begins by saying to him, well, Habakkuk, this is what Habakkuk expected to hear. You and I usually expect to hear something back along with what we want in our prayers, right? Habakkuk was probably expecting answers along the line of, all right, I will root out injustice. I'm going to punish the evildoers. I'm going to bring relief to the righteous. But that isn't what God tells Habakkuk at all. And the Lord begins by saying to him, in essence, all right, Habakkuk, you know what? You're right. Isn't it nice when God says you're right? But there was a but in there. What's the most troublesome word in both the Old and the New Testaments? But. Because there's another side of the story coming. You're right. Injustice, treachery, violence, and sin are completely marring everything about my people who are supposed to be dedicated to me. They're not acting like my holy people. They're not acting the way they should. As a matter of fact, Habakkuk, things are even worse than you know. Their hearts and their minds are so totally corrupt. Radical wrongs require radical surgery. You go to the doctor. Say, hey, doc, what's this thing on my arm? Doctor looks at it, scrapes a little bit of it. Well, son, that's not good. That's cancer. By the way, how many people like to hear the word cancer when the doctor talks? Nobody. So what are we going to do, doc? He says, well, it's a really aggressive cancer. And I could take a little bit here, and in 3 months you'd be back. Because I could never get it all just by doing that. So what are we going to do? Why, I'm going to take your left arm. And you're going to say, wait a minute. This little spot means I have to lose my left arm? No. But if I don't take it all, it'll continue to eat away at you. Do you want to be sick? Do you want to die sooner because you didn't take the treatment? And the Lord says, my people are in such a state, they need a radical treatment. He says to Habakkuk, you are going to be astonished and dumbfounded by my solution. I am going to raise up the Babylonians. In the King James, it calls them the Chaldeans. I'm going to raise them up, and I am going to purify my people, because I'm going to allow the Babylonians to take all their cities, destroy their temple, and carry them off into captivity for 70 years. Now that is radical surgery. People are going to die by the thousands. People are going to be carried off into slavery by the thousands. Everything that they put their trust in is going to be demolished and destroyed and razed to the ground. There will be nothing left but a pile of rocks. For 70 years. And I'm pretty sure at this point, Habakkuk is saying, wait a minute, that wasn't quite what I thought we were going to get. This isn't quite the answer I was looking for. I was asking you for to fix things, Lord, but isn't this awfully permanent? How bad does it have to be for God to say, I'm going to tear it all down and send you all away before I bring your offspring back? Then Habakkuk is told, I want you to do this. I want you to go get some of those clay tablets that you keep nearby, and you are going to write down everything I tell you, And it's going to be then copied, and it's going to be carried out through the whole nation of Judah, so that everyone can hear what's coming. I don't care about your politics or your thoughts about COVID-19. Okay. We all remember COVID-19. How could we possibly forget? But I will say, at least we were warned that something was coming, right? You had more warnings than you probably, up to here and maybe a little higher. But at least we could never say we weren't warned that it was a problem coming. The people of Judah and Habakkuk's time could never say we weren't warned. God said, write it out, have it copied on the tablets, have it sent throughout the whole nation of Judah, so everybody knows that what I said is going to happen. Now, do they believe it? The prophetic record indicates no, they didn't believe it. But it doesn't matter. The word went out. Habakkuk was faithful. And at the end of the Lord's answer to Habakkuk, he says this, the end of chapter 2. But the Lord is in his holy temple. Let all the earth keep silence before him. You and I often think of this verse in terms of worship. I've been in church buildings where they had that emblazoned at the front of the church. The Lord is in his holy temple. Let all the earth keep silence before him. Habakkuk understands it in a different way. He understood it that God, the King of the universe, is seated on his throne. And all of humanity and all of creation must be in silent submission before him. When the king speaks, when the king gives a command, what is the only response his subject should make? What is it? Yes. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. The kingdom of Judah had less than 25 years to go. In 587 BC, the Babylonians would come down and carry them away. Now, as we come to the end of this message, imagine that you were Habakkuk and you hear God saying, this is what's going to happen. And boy, it's not what you were thinking about at all. You thought that God was going to put a Band-Aid on. God says, no, we're doing surgery. And we're cutting it out. And surely, Habakkuk must have thought, wait a minute, you're going to use the Babylonians or pagans? How can you use pagans against your own chosen people? How can you do that? But then in chapter 3, Habakkuk responds, O Lord, I have heard your speech and I was afraid. O Lord, revive your work in the midst of the years. In the midst of the years, make it known in wrath. Remember mercy. In wrath, remember mercy. And then verses 17 and 18 are some of the strongest words of assurance in the entire Bible, Old and New Testaments alike. Though the fig tree may not bloom, and though the vines be as empty looms, though the olive tree should fail and the fields produce no food, though the flock be skin and bone, and no more cattle graze and roam, though the wheat lies in the field like ashes on the ground. Now that's a pretty bad picture, isn't it? That's a really bad picture. Famine, want, need, starvation. And Habakkuk says, yet I will exalt the Lord. I will rejoice in the God of my salvation. And thus a prophecy that begins with questions ends with trust and commitment. This is not where we thought we were going to go when we got off the exit to Habakkuk. Next week, we're going to go to the exit with Ecclesiastes. And yes, I know we just saw David Jeremiah. And David Jeremiah did a whole bunch of stuff over a number of weeks. We're going to do Ecclesiastes in 1 week. Because the whole purpose of this is to have you look into these pages of the scriptures that you may not have read so much of before and read them for yourself and let God speak to you from them. This is not a Bible course lecture. This is for you to grow and for God to speak to you. Let's pray. Lord, this is some of this stuff. We could substitute Washington or Annapolis or Harrisburg for Jerusalem, and it would fit right in. And if we're honest, sometimes we might fit in as the people that Habakkuk is concerned about. Lord, we want to thank you, first of all, that you gave them fair warning. You used Habakkuk and Isaiah and Jeremiah. And it's not the prophet's fault that the people wouldn't listen. And Lord, you've given us plenty of warning through the scriptures, through many Bible teachers, in so many different ways. Those words that spoke to them can speak to us as well. Thank you for the opportunity to hear a voice that we don't always hear from the pages of your holy word. And let us take away something today, Lord, that builds us up in our precious faith and draws us closer to you. We ask this for Jesus' sake. Amen. Our closing song is going to be number 226. 226. Stand if you're able. We thank you for this time of worship that we have enjoyed and profited from this morning. Be pleased to use us in this coming week in ways that bring honor and glory to you. And speak to us, Lord, in ways that help us to grow more and more into the kind of people you want us to be as your representatives. Bless us as we depart now, we ask, in your Son's holy name. And now may grace and mercy and peace from God the Father, Jesus Christ the Son, and the blessed Holy Spirit be with you now and every day. Amen.
Praise God.